الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we begin this evening seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, studying a brief and concise yet very beneficial treatise and work by Al-Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has entitled this work Shurutu Salah, Shurutu As-Salati wa Arkanuha wa Wajibatuha, the conditions of As-Salah and the pillars, and likewise its obligations, the conditions of As-Salah and its pillars and its obligations. And this work, although it is brief and although it is concise, the author, he has arranged it in a beautiful and very beneficial manner. And he has coupled along with a mention of these particular rulings, which are with regards to the fiqh of ibadah, of the salat specifically, the rulings and the manner of performing the salah and the conditions and the pillars and the obligations with regards to that. But as well, along with mentioning these affairs related to these conditions and pillars and obligations, he has also mentioned, along with that, other beneficial topics going along with this with these affairs. So we see that this treatise, in reality, it consists of a number of issues. So we look at the outline to have a general understanding of what we are beginning to study, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the author, he has mentioned shurutu salah. He has mentioned the conditions of as-salah, and he has mentioned that they are nine. And likewise, he has mentioned arkan as-salah, the pillars of as-salah, and he has mentioned that there are 14. And also he has mentioned wajibat as-salah, the obligations of as-salah, and he has mentioned that there are eight. So he mentioned nine conditions of salah, 14 pillars of the prayer, 14 pillars of salah, and eight obligations. And eight obligations. But whenever the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the fourth condition, whenever he mentioned the fourth condition of salah, which is raf'ul hadathi, which is removing the hadath, yani making the wudu, making the tahara. At this point here, he mentioned the conditions of tahara. At this point here, at condition number four, which is raf'ul hadath, he mentioned, along with that issue, the conditions of tahara, the conditions of a tahara, and he mentioned that there are 10. And also he mentioned the pillars, the furud, or the arkan of the wudu. He mentioned that there are 6. And also he mentioned the obligation of wudu as well, which is 1. And also, along with this same point, he mentioned the invalidators of al-wudu, and he mentioned that there are 8. So therefore, on the fourth condition, which is removing the hadith, he mentioned these affairs as well, that are related specifically to a tahara and to the wudu, which are the conditions of tahara, and there are 10, and likewise the pillars of wudu, and there are 6, and the obligation of wudu, and it is 1. And then also, along with that, those affairs that invalidate and will break the wudu and the tahara, and they are 8, and they are 8. And likewise, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he mentioned the pillars, we have seen that he mentioned the pillars, that there are 14. But in mentioning the pillars, from the pillars is the recitation of the Fatiha. So at this point, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, along with that, a brief and summarized explanation and interpretation of the verses of Al-Fatiha in a beautiful and beneficial manner. And likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala as well, he mentioned, along with that, some other benefits from the sunan of the prayer, like al-istiftah, because of its importance and great benefit for the person who is establishing the salah. And in mentioning the istiftah, which is the supplication made after making the takbirah, al-ihram, and before reciting the fatiha, then he also mentioned the interpretation of that as well, clarifying those terms and the meanings of that supplication. And also, whenever he came to the pillar of at-tashahud al-akhir, he mentioned the interpretation of the tashahud as well. So therefore, in this manner, the author, he has gathered, by mentioning the fiqh of as-salah, from the affairs of the conditions and the pillars and the obligations. And also he has mentioned some of the most beneficial aspects of the prayer inwardly as well, which is the interpretation of the most important parts that are recited in the salah from the supplication, and likewise from the Fatiha and also the tashahud. So from the greatest means to be able to benefit inwardly and outwardly from the salah is to understand what one is reciting. And the best of that which is recited is in the Fatiha, no doubt. And likewise from the most important parts of the prayer as well at the tashahud. And then even before that, the beginning of the prayer, opening up with supplication and calling on Allah Azza wa Jalla and praising Him. So to have a general understanding at least of these affairs would also be from the greatest means for a person to be able to benefit from the prayer. An indication that the prayer, it has an outward appearance, and likewise it has an inward aspect. The prayer, it has an outward appearance, and likewise as well it has an inward aspect. And the prayer will not truly be beneficial for a person until he gathers between the two. So possibly a person, he could learn the conditions and the pillars and the obligations and the sunnah of the salah outwardly, and he could perform the prayer precisely outwardly, yet inside his heart he could be negligent and heedless, and he could be forgetful. And therefore, because of that heedlessness, his prayer will be weak and deficient, and the reward of his prayer likewise will be weak and deficient. And also the benefit that he receives in his life and his daily affairs from that salah as well will be weak and deficient, will be weak and deficient. But as for if he learns outwardly how to perform it properly according to the sunnah, and likewise he understands what he's saying, and he contemplates upon that, and he performs it inwardly with a heart that is alive, then a believer, he will find great benefit in his salat. And this type of salat that is performed properly, inwardly and outwardly, this is the type that Allah, he mentioned, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that indeed the prayer, the salah, it will prohibit a person. It will prohibit a person from evil and indecency whenever it's performed properly, inwardly and outwardly, inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, this is the prayer, and whenever it's performed in this manner, is what is intended from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, and seek aid and assistance in patience and in prayer. In patience and in prayer. So the prayer that's performed properly, this is the one that will be the greatest means for a believer to be upright and steadfast in performing the obligations and that which is incumbent upon him daily, and likewise avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions, that which is forbidden from him in his day and his night. So the prayer is from the most important affairs, from the greatest actions of Islam, and the greatest aspects of the deen after the shahadatain, after establishing the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the salah. It's the second pillar and the greatest pillar after ash-shahadatain. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about the salah, hiya umudu al-islam, umudu al-deen, amud al-islam, or amud al-deen. It's the pillar of al-islam, meaning the foundation, the fundamental pillar, meaning that it's by way of the salah, the Islam is established. And he just has this pillar, is holding up the tent. A tent, for example, has the amud, or a building or a structure, will be in the middle holding up the tent at that structure. And if that amud, or if that pillar or base were to fall, then likewise that tent or structure will fall as well, and it will not stand. So this is the example of the salat. So the salat is from the most important obligations and the greatest obligations in Islam after at-tawheed. And likewise, as-salat hiya as-silatu bayna Al-Abdi wa bayna Rabbihi. As-salah is the connection, is the strong bond and connection that a believer he has between himself and between his Lord. And whenever the salat is performed properly and in the best manner, then the relationship that one has with Allah Azza wa Jalla will be stronger and more proper. Will be stronger and more proper. And that relationship will weaken and become deficient according to the weakness and deficiency of one's prayer. According to the weakness and the deficiency of one's prayer. And likewise, if a person, he wants to understand his status in Islam and how he stands with regards to his religion and his deen, then let him look into his salah and let him look into his prayer. Meaning, no doubt after, of course, establishing the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, let him look into himself and take himself to account how well he performs the salah and what he knows about the prayer and how diligent he is to perform it in the manner that is prescribed inwardly and outwardly, because indeed this is the determining factor, and the one who is establishing the deen properly in his life, inwardly and outwardly, then first and foremost, that what he has established after the shahada and completing the rites of at-tawheed is the salah. Is the salat, especially the obligatory prayers that are incumbent and obligatory five times a day upon every male and female believer who has reached the age of puberty and has a sane mind and has sanity. So therefore, the issue of the prayer is something that is major, and it's not something that is light. And it is something that a believer should show great care and concern for. And it has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bayna ar-rajuli wa bayna shirki wa kufri tarku salah," that between a man and between disbelief, that between a man, any between a believer, between a man, any a person, a woman likewise, any between a man and between shirk, any paganism and polytheism and disbelief, is leaving the prayer. Is leaving the prayer. In one wording in Sunan an-Nasa'i, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa bayna al-abdi wa bayna al-kufri illa tarku as-salah." Illa tarku as-salah. That there is nothing between a man. There's nothing between a slave, meaning between a person, and between disbelief, except that he would leave the prayer. Except that he would leave the prayer. So the prayer is something that is major. Establishing the prayer is something that is major. It's from the greatest obligations and foundations and fundamentals of the deen. And it is that which would determine and differentiate those who believe from those who disbelieve. Those who believe and those who disbelieve. The distinguishing factor from the actions and the deeds is clarified in the prayer. Those who pray, those who are true believers and those who are Muslims upright and proper, then they establish their prayer in their life five times a day in the proper time and the proper manner. And those who do not believe, and those who do not believe in Allah and the last day, then they do not establish the prayer, not in the proper time and nor in the proper manner. Not in the proper time nor in the proper manner. It has been collected by At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i, it has been Majah, Imam Ahmad and other than them, rahimahumullah, from the Haditha Buraid ibn al-Husayb, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum, الصلاه فمن تركها فقد كفر العهد يعني الامان يعني او الوثيقه يعني the bond and the trust that is between us and between them العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاه the covenant that we have between us and between them or the means of safety and security between us and between them meaning between us and between the disbelievers and the hypocrites As-salat is the prayer. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. So therefore, whoever leaves it, then indeed he has disbelieved. So the prayer, again, is something of utmost importance. It must be established. It must be performed in the proper manner, five times a day, as has been prescribed in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, it has been collected by At-Tirmidhi. From the hadith of Abdullah ibn Shaqiq al-Uqayli rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, "Kana ashabu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yarawna shay'an min al-a'mali tarkuhu kufrun ghayra as-salah." He said rahimahullah ta'ala that the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not used to believe that leaving anything from the actions to be considered disbelief except for the salah. Meaning that the companions, radiyallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning here, that they did not used to believe that leaving any of the actions of al-Islam, to be considered disbelief except for a salah. Meaning that the companions, they used to consider leaving the prayer to be considered disbelief, waliyadhu billah. And this is what is clear from those narrations. بين الرجل وبين الشرك والكفر ترك الصلاة العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. And it has been narrated likewise by Umar رضي الله عنه that he said لا حظ في الإسلام لمن لا يصلي. There is no portion of Islam. A person who does not pray, he has no portion of that Islam, and he has no stake in that Islam. And meaning that this is the determining factor. This is the determining factor clarifying those who believe from those who disbelieve. And many of us, barakallahu fikum, those especially who have come from disbelief, those especially who have came from disbelief, and they lived a major portion of their life and they did not know about Salah, and they did not perform Salah. Or maybe some of them likewise entering into Islam, they did not enter into Islam wholeheartedly in the beginning all at once. So eventually a person who's like this, who tasted the waylat and the evils and the foul ways of disbelief, and then likewise slowly, gradually being guided to Al-Islam, and maybe in the beginning he does not know how to pray. He starts to learn how to pray, maybe he'll pray sometimes, or he does not know how to pray all the way properly yet. But then eventually, after struggling and striving and going through these difficulties, he learns how to pray. He learns how to pray. And then even maybe sometime after learning how to pray, maybe it's sometime for some of them before they actually start praying 5 times a day. This person right here, he will be able to recognize and realize he knows the beauty and the great benefit of Salah. Likewise, maybe somebody who was born a Muslim, but he was struggling with Islam because of a deficiency understanding and the likes like this, he had a similar experience. Maybe he was not establishing the prayer properly in his life. And then he's given success one day to start praying, to start praying 5 times a day. And then likewise, along with that, to start being diligent, to learn how to pray properly in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. The person that has experienced this falsehood and this evil and this life without salah after experiencing in this manner, and then tasting the sweetness of life after establishing the prayer, he will know the great benefit. He will know the great benefit, and likewise, he will know the reality of this affair, and these narrations will become clear for him that no doubt before, when he used to pray, his life was in shambles and upside down and in disorder and disarray, and he was upon misguidance. And it was only by the grace and the mercy of Allah, after establishing the prayer, that his life started coming together and he started being able to benefit and see clearly, and guidance came into his life. So establishing the prayer is from the most important affairs in Al-Islam, rather the most important affair from the actions of the deen, after establishing the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, after establishing the Shahadatain and understanding and knowing the meaning of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding this meaning and believing in it, understanding what it requires and necessitates and striving to perform that. This will carry a person to establish those obligations, and at the head of the obligations and the most important obligation from the actions of the deen, establishing the prayer. Establishing the prayer, the obligatory prayer. So the prayer has a great status in Al-Islam, and we're all aware of this. But just to emphasize, and as a reminder and admonition for all of us, the prayer, barakallahu fikum, hiya awwalu ma yuhasabu al-abdu alayhi min amalihi yawm al-qiyamah. That the prayer is the very first thing that a person, he'll be held accountable in front of Allah with regards to his actions. With regards to his actions, meaning from the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first thing a person, he'll be asked about from his deeds and actions with regards to the rights of his Lord is the Salah. Is the Salah. It has been collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa'i ibn Majah, and likewise Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullah, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ النَّاسُ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِمَ الصَّلَاةِ الصَّلَاةِ. That indeed the first thing that the people, they will be held accountable for, they'll be taken to account for with regards to their actions on the day of resurrection, is the Salah. Is the Salah. And the first thing that a person, he'll be taken account for, the first thing he'll be asked about, the first thing that's going to determine his future in the hereafter, and his status and his rank in the hereafter, and his condition with his Lord, and that connection and relationship that he has at this time on the day of resurrection, whenever he's standing before Allah, the first thing he'll be held accountable for with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal is the prayer, is the salah, meaning specifically the obligatory salah, as-salat al-mafruḍah, as-salat. This is with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the rights of the slaves, then no doubt the first thing that the people will be judged and taken into account for is with regards to the bloodshed. Is with regards to the bloodshed. And has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُقْضَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي الدِّمَاءِ. that the first thing that the people will be judged and taken to account for on the day of resurrection is with regards to the bloodshed. Is with regards to the bloodshed. Yani violating others' rights physically and spreading and shedding their blood and shedding their blood unlawfully. So the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to these two narrations, how we combine and understand them. And the proper light is that with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, the first thing the people will be taken to account for is the salah. And with regards to the rights of the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, the first thing the people will be held accountable for and the first thing they'll be judged with regards to is the bloodshed. Is the bloodshed and the violation of the rights that occur between them. That occur between them. So the point now here is to realize the status of the prayer and the importance of the prayer. And the great need a believer is in with regards to establishing the prayer and learning how to establish the prayer. With regards to learning how to establish the prayer and establishing it properly in his life. Establishing it properly in his life. So this is the case of the prayer. Even in this life, barakallahu fikum, and likewise in the hereafter. If a person, he rectifies his salah, and then the rest of his life along with that will become rectified. If a person, he rectifies his prayer, and he performs it properly, inwardly and outwardly, and the rectification of the salah will come along with that, the rectification of the rest of the affairs of a person's life, his manners and his conduct and his dealings, all of this will be rectified and be set in order by him establishing the prayer in the proper manner. And likewise in the hereafter as well. In the hereafter, if the prayer is established properly and good, then he is taken to account for that and he has a good reward. Then likewise, the rest of the deeds as well, they will be upright and good, and he will also have for them a proper reward. But if he is deficient in his prayer, and he has a weakness in his prayer, then likewise, the rest of his deeds are going to be weak. Likewise, the rest of his deeds and the reward for the rest of his actions, they're going to be weak. Yani the prayer is the foundation and the focal point. Likewise, in the life of a believer, if he establishes the prayer properly, then the rest of his affairs, they're going to be, inshallah, in order for him. He'll be able to deal with life. It'll be the greatest means for him to be upright and steadfast. To be upright and steadfast in performing the obligations properly. And avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. And having good and noble manners and dealing with the people. Whenever he's diligent in establishing the prayer inwardly and outwardly, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the deficiency that he will have in his life will many times be from the deficiency that he has in his salah. The deficiency that he has in his salah. And it has been collected by At-Tirmidhi from the hadith of Huraith ibn Qabisa, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's from the Tabi'een. He said, Qadimtu al-Madinata faqultu Allahumma yassir li jalisan saliha. He said, Qadimtu al-Madinata faqultu Allahumma yassir li jalisan saliha. Huraith ibn Qabisa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, I came to al-Madina. I arrived to al-Madina, yani in his journey, he's traveling to seek knowledge. He's traveling to Al-Madinah to seek knowledge. And whenever he enters Al-Madinah, he says, Allahumma yassir li jalisan saliha. Oh Allah, facilitate for me to have a righteous companion to sit with. Oh Allah, facilitate for me. And yassir li, make it easy for me. Oh Allah, make it easy for me to find a righteous companion, a righteous person that I will sit with and benefit from. And there's great benefit in this narration. And from that is that a person, he must be diligent about those who he sits with and those who he benefits from. And from the means of this is to call on Allah Azza wa Jal. A person, he will call on Allah for his needs. And from the greatest needs a believer has is that he will have righteous companions that he will sit with. Him and his family and his children and loved ones. A person, he will make dua like this. Allahumma yassir li jalisan saliha. Li wa li zawjati wa li awladi wa li hibbati. A person, he will make dua for the likes of this, to have a righteous and good companions, to make dua to have righteous and good companions, and that a person's spouse will have righteous and good companions, and that a person's children will have righteous and good companions. Because many times a person is misled and misguided only because of his company and companions. Only because of his companions and the company that he keeps. Maybe he will be upon a good path and then he finds himself in a bad way. And all of this is because of his companions. And likewise, maybe a person, he would at one time be upon a bad way. And then it is only because
after the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, finding good companions that were upright and noble, and directing him and guiding him and advising him in the best way that he was able to rectify his affair and get his feet set on the straight path. So this is what he's saying, Hurayth ibn Qabisa rahimahullah ta'ala, Allahum yassir li jalisan saliha. Qala fajalastu ila Abi Hurayrah. And this is his dua as he's entering Medina. Oh Allah, facilitate for me to have a righteous companion. Whenever he entered Medina, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that he was given success now to sit with Abu Hurayrah radiyallahu anhu. And so therefore it's an indication that Allah Azza wa Jal, he answered his supplication. He answered his supplication in the most beautiful manner, and now he's sitting in the company of the companion who narrated the most narrations on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no doubt in those days he's from the most knowledgeable of the people alive on earth, Abu Hurayrah radiyallahu anhu. So he says, فَقُولْتُ إِنِّي سَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي جَلِيسًا صَارِحًا فَحَدِثْنِي بِحَدِيثٍ سَمِعْتَهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنِي بِهِ. So he said to him that indeed I asked Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning when I'm coming here, I asked Allah Azza wa Jal to provide for me a righteous companion to sit with. And meaning, and here I am sitting with you. And here I am sitting with you. So I'm asking Allah Azza wa Jal to provide for me a righteous companion, an upright and noble companion to sit with and benefit from. And here I am sitting with you. So therefore narrate to me and teach me something that you heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنِي بِهِ. That perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will benefit me with that which I hear from you, from that which you heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at this time, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he says, سَمِعْتُ إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ صَلَاتُهُ. صَلَاتُهُ. So he tells him now that indeed that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that verily the first thing that a person he will be taken to account for, inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi al-'abdu yawm al-qiyamah min 'amalihi salatuhu, that indeed the first thing that a slave, meaning a person, he'll be taken to account for on the day of resurrection from his actions is his salat. It's his salah. Again, this is emphasizing the affair. All of us are returning to Allah. All of us are returning to Allah. Something that we cannot hide from. It's something that we cannot run from. It's something that we cannot deny. Just as we cannot die, that we were created in the manner that we were created, that is well known, from that fluid and that dark place that is well known. And we all have moved from stage to stage until this point in life that we are in today. Just as we cannot deny this, and that Allah, He is our Lord and He is our Creator, likewise we're returning to Him. We're returning to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa sa'iluna. And He's going to ask us. He's going to ask us about our life and our favors and blessings that He has provided for us. And the first thing that He's going to ask us about with regards to our actions, salatuna. He's going to ask us about our salah. He's going to ask us about our salah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he mentions about the salah. فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. So therefore, if the prayer is correct and proper, then he will be successful and he will be safe. He will be successful and he will be safe. And if his salah is corrupted, then indeed he will be a failure and he will be a loser. Then indeed he will be a failure and he will be a loser. So this is the determining factor in the hereafter. And in the salah, if it's performed properly, the salah, the saluhat, faqad aflaha wa anjah. That indeed, if it is proper and correct, then he will be successful and he will be safe. Then he will be successful and he will be safe in the hereafter. In the hereafter. And if the prayer is corrupted, if the prayer is corrupted or deficient, then he will be a failure and he will be a loser. Meaning if the prayer is correct, meaning that he performed it properly. All of this here now is an indication to the importance of studying the likes of these treaties. The importance of studying the likes of these treaties. The first thing we'll be held accountable for is our salah. Either saluhat, yani salat. If the prayer is proper, if the prayer is correct, if the prayer is performed inwardly and outwardly according to the legislation, according to the manner that Allah is pleased, and according to the manner that is displayed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if all of the conditions are brought and performed properly, and all of the pillars and the obligations are performed in the best manner. And then a person, he strives to complete and perfect that by bringing the non-obligatory actions from that which is recommended from the sunan of the prayer and the likes like this. At this time, he will be successful. In this manner, the prayer that is correct and proper, he will be, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, successful, and he will be safe. He will be safe. And in the time, whenever much of mankind, they will not be safe. Rather, they will be exposed to much fear and much terror and much fright and much harm and difficulty. But the one who kept his prayer proper, then he will be safe and he will be successful. As for if the prayer is corrupted, meaning by he did not perform it, or he performed it but he did not perform it properly, he performed the prayer but he did not perform the pillars properly, or he did not perform the conditions properly, or he did not perform the pillars or the obligations properly, he was negligent with regards to performing his prayer, فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ, then he will be a failure and he will be a loser. Any meaning, he will be exposed to the anger and the threat of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his negligence of the prayer. Negligence in learning how to perform it properly, or negligence in performing it properly after having learned. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِنْ تَقَصَ مِنْ فَرِيلَتِهِ شَيْءٌ قال الرب تبارك وتعالى انظروا هل لعبدي من تطوع فتكمل بها ما من تقص من الفريضة ثم يكون سائر عمله على ذلك ثم يكون سائر عمله على ذلك. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says after this, if there are any deficiencies in a person's obligatory prayer, then الرب تبارك وتعالى, he will say, the Lord, the most blessed and high subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will say, look and see, does my slave have any non-obligatory prayer? Does my slave have any voluntary actions of prayer? And in this manner, the deficiencies and the obligations will be corrected by the non-obligatory prayer that the person had performed. So again, the indication of the importance of performing the obligatory prayer, and also a great encouragement of having care and concern with establishing the non-obligatory prayer as well. The obligatory prayer, a person is held accountable with regards to this first and foremost. If it is good, then the rest of his actions will be good, and the rest of his accountability and standing before Allah will be good. And if it's deficient, then that which he faces after that is according to that deficiency. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His grace for those believing slaves who established the prayer and they kept that relationship, even if they did have some deficiency in their obligatory prayer, it will be looked into their non-obligatory prayer in order to rectify that affair, in order to rectify and to fix any deficiencies or shortcomings that maybe they had in the obligatory prayer, from being heedless and praying without having khushu', without being aware and conscious and the likes like this, or being negligent from time to time in performing some aspects of the prayer, then the non-obligatory prayer in this manner will be a means to rectify that deficiency. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يَكُونُ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Then the rest of his deeds will be like this. Then the rest of his deeds will be like this. Meaning after that, the accountability will continue with the rest of the actions in the same manner. Looking to the obligatory and then the deficiency and that being rectified with the non-obligatory. From the zakat, yani the sadaqah. And likewise from the fasting, from the siyam, and from the hajj and the likes like this. The rest of the deeds, the rest of the obligations, a person will be taken to account in the same manner. It will be looked into the obligatory actions. And if there's any deficiencies, then that which is voluntary from that type of action will be a means to rectify that by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this narration, we see the importance of the salah and the status of the salah. And that in the hereafter, the first thing that we will be taking into account before Allah with regards to is the prayer. And if the prayer is good, then the rest of the deeds will be good. And if the accountability with regards to one's salat is good, then the rest of his accountability will be good. And if there is deficiency in that, then it will, then accountability likewise will be accordingly. And the only means to rectify that is by having some benefit from the non-obligatory salat. Also in this narration, we see the diligence of the salaf to seek knowledge. that they will travel. Like we see here, Hurayth ibn Qabisa, rahimahullah, he's traveling to seek knowledge, and likewise supplicating to have a good companion to learn from. And all of this is something that is recommended. Also their diligence as well to sit with the people of knowledge, that a person, he will sit with them and likewise keep good company. And also this is the clarification of the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the blessing of Allah upon those who believe, that even if they have a deficiency in their obligatory prayer, that from His mercy and grace they can rectify that from the non-obligatory prayer. Also, there's a great encouragement here for a person to strive to perform the obligatory prayer, no doubt, properly, but also to increase and to not suffice with the obligation, but also to be diligent to perform the non-obligatory salat, beginning with the rawatib, those prayers that are coupled with the obligatory prayer, and especially that of the Fajr, and also with the night prayer, the witr prayer, after Isha, sometime in the nighttime, after the Isha prayer, and before the rising of the Fajr, to have concern for this salawat. And for this reason, there are means to protect and likewise to rectify deficiencies that one finds in his obligatory salat. Also in the duha, and the prayer in the morning time. So we see again this issue about companionship. The issue of companionship, having good companions. A person, he must have good companions. Be diligent to have good companions. And also be diligent for his family and loved ones and those under his care to have good companions. And many times this is the point that will make or break a person. And whether he's going to be upright and steadfast, or whether he's going to be weak and wishy-washy or deficient or misguided, even waliyadu billah, those whom he hangs around with, those whom he keeps company with, those whom he listens to, and those whom he gets advice from. And this is very, very important. From the means of knowing a good companion and identifying someone who is rightful to take as a companion and to be in their company is to look at the salah. The salah itself is from the greatest means to identify somebody who is possibly a good and noble companion. A good and noble companion. And this is the one action that in reality a person, he's able to measure the people with regards to, yani in a very easy manner. The other actions that a person, he could take someone to account for or realize who they are, yani in general, maybe doesn't occur often, like doing business with them or traveling with them or living with them, so on and so forth. No doubt these are means to know a person in his reality or her reality, but there is something that happens daily. A person, he could spend one day with an individual, and from that one day, he'll be able to evaluate that person and see where he's at. And if he is qualified, inshallah, to possibly be a companion or not, or whether he wants to keep close company with him or whether he wants to keep distant company with him. And that is by observing the person's prayer. That is by observing the person's prayer. If a person, he spends some time with an individual throughout the day, and all throughout the day, whenever the time of prayer comes, he's negligent or heedless or forgetful, and he has to be reminded time after time, or even if he's reminded, he keeps delaying with no reason or with no benefit. So it's time for dhuhr, ya akhi barakallahu fik. Okay, just wait 30 minutes, I'm busy like this. And then he'll continue to delay it without any proper excuse, so on and so forth. And this is a sign that this individual does not have the ta'zim of the salat in his heart. He does not honor and respect the prayer in the manner that's required. He does not honor and respect the prayer and the manner that is required, so therefore he would delay it, and therefore he would neglect it without any right, without any reason. And likewise, if you keep up with him until the Asr time, you find him doing the same thing, similar in the same manner, being neglectful with the time of the prayer and the likes like this. And then if you continue to the Maghrib and the Isha prayer and the likes like this, you will find him as well in the same manner. Or even sometimes, possibly, you will find him with regards to the Dhuhr prayer. MashaAllah, he prays it on time. And the Asr prayer, MashaAllah, he prays it on time. Or maybe not those two prayers. Maybe rather he's negligent with regards to them because he sleeps all day. But if you're with him at the Maghrib time, MashaAllah, he's praying on time. Or praying in the Jama'ah. Or if you find him with the Isha prayer, MashaAllah, on time. Or praying in the Jama'ah. But then if you catch him at Fajr, he cannot get the blankets off of his chest. And so the point is to spend the day with him, with all of the prayers. A person, he'll be able to identify his companion, who he is. Yani from the Fajr time until the night time. Yani who the person is, who his reality is. Yani what is he about? And the likes like this, by identifying his salat. So even if a person, he is busy and preoccupied, yani and away from the masjid, for example. In these lands, the masajid are far and wide. They're not near and close. So sometimes a person is not able to go about his daily business and earn a living and the likes like this and attend the masajid for all five daily prayers. But that should not prohibit him from establishing the prayer in the proper manner. That should not prohibit him from establishing the prayer in the proper manner in the proper time. In the proper manner in the proper time. So even if he cannot come to the masjid, he will not delay without excuse or without reason, or he will not just peck the prayer out and hurry up and get finished and go back to his job and business, rather he will take his time and pray his prayer in the proper manner. It doesn't mean that he has to likewise elongate the prayer and pray an extremely long prayer, but he will just take his time, perform his salat, and go about his business after that. He will take his time, perform his prayer, and go about his business after that. The point is that the prayer is a means to identify the people, whether they're going to be a person that's worthy as taking as a companion or not, by looking at the prayer. And also, this is something that the Salaf used to do. It's been narrated by Abu al-Ali, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's from the Tabi'een. He said, كنت أرحل إلى رجل مسيرة أيام مسيرة أيام لأسمع منه. He said, I used to travel. And he died in the year 93. So the way that they travel is not the way that we travel. He said that I used to travel the distance of days in order to hear from a person, meaning in order to take knowledge from him. But whenever he gets there, he says, فَأَتَفَقَدُ صَلَاتَهُ. So whenever I got there, he said, فَأَتَفَقَدُ صَلَاتَهُ. I would check out his prayer. I would look into his salat. فَإِنْ وَجَدْتُهُ يُحْسِنُهَا أَقَمْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ أَجِدْهُ يُضَيِّعُهَا رَحَلْتُ وَلَمْ أَسْمَعْ مِنْهُ. He says, so whenever I got there, I would check out and look into his prayer. So if I find that he performed the prayer properly, then I would stay there with him and learn from him. And if I find that he neglected the prayer, then I would leave and I would not listen to him. وَقُلْتُ هُوَ لِمَا سِوَهَا أَلْضِعَ. And I would say that this individual, he is with regards to other than that, even more neglectful. And if he's neglectful with regards to the salat, then everything after that is even more neglectful. And this is their understanding. They would understand that reality and the status of the salat. That if a person, he established the prayer properly, this is a very good indication that the rest of his life is in order and good. And if he neglected the prayer and did not perform it properly, this is a great indication that the rest of his life is not in order and it's not good. And he's not going to be somebody who's reliable and trustworthy. He's not going to be somebody who's reliable and trustworthy, especially with regards to knowledge. Even in the worldly affair, those people who are negligent with regards to their prayer, many times there are those who will get over on a person. They will cheat an individual, and they will not be honest in their buying and trading. And as soon as they get an opportunity or the window opens for them, they will betray a person, and they will be neglectful, and they will lie against him, or they will take a dollar. And they'll take a dollar unrightfully, or they'll violate the covenants and the likes like this in order to get a dollar. You'll find this person, he's not somebody who is preserving the prayer in the manner that is proper. That is preserving the prayer in the manner that is proper. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Because indeed the prayer will prohibit this. The prayer, when it's performed properly, it will prohibit a person from the likes of these affairs, from the likes of these actions of indecency. And even if a person, he fell into some indecency, would hasten to return and repent because of his salat, because of his prayer. Because of his prayer, it would be a means for him to return to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to repent. Likewise, it has been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, this affair. He said a great benefit about the issue of the salat, that a person, he has two points of standing, or two times that he will be standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفَانِ. That the slave, a person, he has in front of Allah two positions of standing, and two times that he's going to stand before Allah. مَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَمَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That a person, he will be standing before Allah Azza wa Jal in the salat, and likewise, he'll be standing before Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection. فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ هُوِّنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْآخَرِ. So the one who establishes the rights of the standing, of the first point place of standing, the one who established properly those rights of the first place of standing, then the second or the other place of standing will be made light for him and facilitated. And he meaning the one who stands before Allah properly and fulfills the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal in the salah while he's alive in this life, then in the hereafter, standing before Allah Azza wa Jal will be made easy for him and facilitated. Standing before Allah for the accountability will be made easy and facilitated. He said, وَمَنْ اسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ وَلَمْ يُوَفِّهِ حَقَّهُ شُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ. And the one who was negligent and did not take seriously this standing here, meaning in the prayer before Allah Azza wa Jal, and he did not fulfill the right of this position, then the standing in the hereafter will be made harsh and difficult for him. Then the standing in the hereafter will be made harsh and difficult for him. He said, قال تعالى وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدَ لَهُ وَسَبِّحُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from the night you should prostrate and glorify Allah Azza wa Jal a long portion. And it is these people, meaning those who have neglected their prayer, that they love the hastened life, and they turn away from a day that is heavy, a day from the heavy day. And so standing before Allah Azza wa Jal is a great affair. And in order to be safe in the hereafter, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one must show great care and concern standing before Him in this life. Standing before Him in this life, meaning standing before Him in the obligatory salah specifically, and likewise after that, in the non-obligatory salah. So therefore, establishing the prayer properly, inwardly and outwardly, is of utmost importance. Learning how to do that is from the greatest cares and concern of a believer. Learning how to pray, learning how to establish the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered in the Quran to establish the prayer in a number of verses. Wa aqimu salah, mentioning the obligation to establish the prayer, praising those who establish the prayer, and that from the greatest characteristics of those who are guided and benefit from the Quran and from the people of paradise is that they are those who establish the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner that you have seen me pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example and role model, and in all aspects of life, especially in the salah, So therefore, to have diligence to learn how to pray as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, to have great diligence and care and desire and yearn to want to learn and to know how to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, to take oneself to account. It's my prayer like the way that is described from the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I moving in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to move? Am I moving in the manner that the companions radiallahu anhum, they witnessed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam move in the prayer? We'll find that today many of the Muslims, they have no concern for the prayer. Their prayer is not like the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of the Muslims, their prayer is not like the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not inwardly and not outwardly. And you'll find that many of them, likewise, they never in their life had any concern to even read a book, or to even read a page, or to sit in a gathering where the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being taught and being discussed. Or one of them, maybe he has never read or even was concerned about reading about the conditions of salah, or the pillars of salah, or the obligations of salah, or the sunnah of salah. The best that he knows is how they do it in his masjid, or how they do it in his community, or in his country, and the likes like this. And he never learned how to pray or had any concern of learning how to pray or reading a book about learning how to pray as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. And this is a musibah. That same type of individual that is very common, wallahu musta'an, maybe you'll find him reading a magazine or a newspaper from the first page to the last page. He has all the time in the world to read a magazine. Who knows what it's about? A magazine from the magazines, or a newspaper from the newspaper, or a tabloid. He can read it from the beginning to the end, or he can listen to some podcast on YouTube, or some person talking on this one or on that one, and he for hours and hours and hours, but he cannot read a small book about learning how to pray as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. He cannot sit in a gathering in a class for 45 minutes, yani once or twice a week, in order to learn how to rectify his prayer. This is something that is the calamity. This is something that a believer, he has to have concern about. He has to have a desire to learn how to pray as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he used to pray. The prayer, it can be from the greatest means of having a high and lofty status in this life and the hereafter. And likewise, the greatest means to have mercy and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been collected by Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and Al-Imam Ahmed. From the Haditha Abi Ayyub radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَن تَوَضَّعَ كَمَا أُمِرَ, من توضأ كما أمر وصلى كما أمر غفر له ما تقدم من عمل. That whoever makes the wudu in the manner that he was ordered, and whoever prays in the manner that he was ordered, then that which has proceeded from his actions will be forgiven. That which has proceeded from his actions will be forgiven. من توضأ كما أمر. Whoever performs the wudu in the manner that he was ordered, not however he likes, not according to the customs of his people, not according to this way or that way. كما أمر. ومن صلى كما أمر. And the one who prays in the manner that he was ordered, غفر له ما تقدم من عمل. Then that which has proceeded from his actions, meaning from his sins and mistakes and errors, will be forgiven and pardoned. Will be forgiven and will be pardoned. So again, this is an introduction to this work and an encouragement to be diligent to learn. To be diligent to learn, to review, to go over. A person, maybe he already knows some of these affairs or studied the likes of this work, then it will be a review for him. And those who have not studied, then there will be new knowledge and benefit for them. But the likes of this work, specifically this one here, Shurutu Salah, Wa Arkanuha Wa Wajibatuha, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, these are from those texts that a student of knowledge specifically were memorized. Even the layman, it's encouraged for them likewise to memorize the likes of these concise and beneficial mutun. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.